Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by DX Engineering. DX Engineering offers practically everything you need to outfit your shack, plus the fastest shipping in the industry. Most in-stock items ship the same day, Monday through Friday until 10 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit dxengineering.com/hamnation. By ICOM. For more information, visit icomamerica.com/hamnation. And by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully, so you can be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. Get started at rocketmortgage.com/hamnation.
This is Ham Nation episode number 332, January 3rd, 2018. A cold and bright start to the new year.
Happy New Year, everybody. It's Ham Nation. Yeah, it's Bob Heil, K9EID, and I have all my usual friends plus some, and it's cold. I mean, really cold. It's not supposed to be this cold. Gordo, how are you doing? It's even cold in California, right?
No, but we didn't want people to feel bad that our cold is like 62 degrees. But it's going to be cold, but it's going to be fun this weekend for Ham Radio University. It's this coming Saturday. Now, they've changed the dates and the location, 7:30 to 3:00. LIU Post Hillwood Common Student Center in Brookville, New York. So Ham Radio University is what you'll look up. That's a Saturday deal. And let me tell you, I've been there with Ken Newbeck, and it has been fun. We're soon going to hear from Adrian. Probably next week, she's down in Somalia, K08SCA, and we hope to go live with her via Twit this coming week, and it'll be fun working her. And finally, New Year's resolution, and it is get it right, and that is megahertz, capital M, not a little m, that would be millihertz. So anytime you're writing an article or have something posted on the internet, as there's a big one today, they had millihertz rather than megahertz, big M. Kilohertz, just the opposite. Little K, big H, little Z, kilo, little K. A big K would be Kevin Hertz, and, well, no temperature about that. So for those of you out on the East Coast and the Southeast and the East and the Midwest, stay warm. Back to you, Bob.
Oh, boy, that's a big order here. Let me tell you, it's 2 degrees right now. It was down below, much below with the wind chill a couple of days ago. Don, how are you faring down there? I don't imagine you're real warm, are you?
No, it's been in the 20s, the low 20s down here. It's 31 right now, just looking at the phone here. So it's actually warmer than it has been. We're looking for a low tonight, it says, of 25. And then we're going to get up into the 40s and maybe close to 60 again by the weekend. But the more alarming thing is Gordon's hat. Gordon doesn't take that hat off. That hat takes Gordon off. Is that thing alive, Gordon? What do you feed that thing?
It was alive, but we skinned it. So this is the natural, and that was the past natural.
Oh, well, put it back on. Back to you, Bob.
Yeah. And how's Mississippi doing, George? I'm sure you're not real warm, are you? George, take it away.
No, Bob, I'm not. And, you know, it's a shame that you all could not stop the cold wave up there in Missouri because... Or actually, I guess you're in Illinois tonight, but boy, it has been cold here. It's been in the teens.
It is so cold, he froze.
Froze. Oh, no. I didn't know that was me. Oh, goodness.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get George back.
Getting him back. Well, in the meantime, I want to show you a few things here before we get over to good old Gordo's wonderful stuff today. Where do you think that is? I got that today. And this came from Gene, W4IQN. He's the guy that does those beautiful drawings for all the pine board. That's in Atlanta. Well, it's near. It's Richmond Hills, but it's near Atlanta. Look at the snow. You got, I really love that because, well, no, it's not good, but the picture's neat. There's a palm tree in his front yard and snow. And I'm sure he is not laughing at all. I'm not laughing at that. I'm just thinking, wow, crazy is this? So, oh, golly, my condolences to you for that one. Oh, man. But what can I tell you? And I got so many letters. We'll get into some of those. I'm going to do one of them here. I'm going to take a couple minutes before we get over to Gordo. You know, I tell you a lot about my favorite subject, yeah, right, of ground loops. Well, it happens that this past month, I've been collecting them since I've been all over the Midwest here, different things. And I've gotten several of them with the same message. They will come to me having hum in their audio. Oh, I got a broken cable. I got a this or that. Yeah, right. What they have, and it's very simple, is a ground loop. We talk about it all the time. And then we get the flamers that say, Heil doesn't know what he's talking about. Well, I only apply this science. That's my whole deal in life. It's got to be the science. And what happens if you have all of your grounds connected, all those little three pins of the amplifier, and it's grounded outside, and it's ground? You have different paths. You'll notice there's a different path. The length of the wire, the ground wire, they all want to get here. I mean, that's the deal. They all want to get to ground outside that fuse box. This one gets there really quick. But this one takes a long time to get there. You have two potentials. What do you have? You have a hum. You have a 60-cycle ground loop. It's very simple. And there is a very simple way to fix it. And when I tell people this, they say, oh, you're going to electrocute yourself. No, 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 I'm not saying that. And one of the letters I got here just the other day is John Swigert, KK4SHF. And he come just, his letter was so good. Let's see exactly what he said. He said, that did the trick. Thanks loads. Great sound, no ground. And there it is. Of course, he has ground. He's talking about his ground loop. You go to Lowe's and you spend about 75 cents and you buy this little adapter. You don't put it on all of them. You put it on one. All you have to do is break that ground once. You don't have to get crazy. Just pick one. And when you pick that one, that's all you need. Now, there's only one path to ground. It's like a dog race. Look, this is going to find ground. Can't go that way. So it's going to go that way. So everything has to go that way. They can't go this way. You have solved your ground loop with about 75 cents. No, you don't put it on all of them. You have to figure out, like that drawing I showed you, and away you go. So there we go. I'll be ready for all the flamers that think they know more than science. Oh, my gosh. So what do you say, Gordo? You don't have any ground loops in your station because you start off from scratch, and it's all done right, I know. But what else you got going in warm Costa Mesa?
Well, thanks, Bob, for that great information. And yes, you know, I did have a ground loop, and I did just exactly that. I had three different pieces of gear plugged into AC, and I isolated two out of three, and everything came out no hum. Tonight, we're going to talk about lighting up your ham shack or your portable shack or your grab-and-go station. I originally started out with this. It's 600 volt. It's called electroluminescence. And electroluminescence, called EL, is amazing stuff. It does require high voltage. You can even sequence it so it does dots and dashes or whatever. But EL did not like the wet weather out here in Southern California. So then I was attracted to fluorescence, and we've got a vacuum fluorescent tube back there on the sign that goes up and down. It doesn't like wet weather. And then about 10 years ago at the Consumer Electronics Show, Bob, I saw the great display of LEDs on a strip. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight, is light emitting diodes and a trick to make them work when you stick them on your outside vehicle, if that's what you're going to light up, or as I have here on the ham station, LEDs looking down. So let's go to that first shot, Victor. And LEDs on a strip have been around for about 10 years. And it was at the Consumer Electronics Show that we immediately saw, well, they were nice, but they were cold. Well, after a couple of years, they began to change the chemistry of the light-emitting diode. That's a diode in the forward direction that, when energized, it lights a diode. And we came out with not only cold LEDs, but warm LEDs, LEDs on a strip. So this was pretty neat. And there was big price disparities between some of the vendors. Some had them for like $12 to $15 direct from overseas. Others had them at $20 to $22. And I finally met up with Roger and Kim. Now, they're the husband and wife team that travel all over the country at all the ham fests. And they're with Wiredcom. And they say, let me tell you all the different varieties of the LEDs. And there's not one LED right for every application. Well, this is great. So the $20 to $25 LEDs come in either cool or warm or extra warm. But you can't tell just by looking at the strip turned off. So Roger makes it a point that before he markets any LED, he always asks, what are you trying to light up? Do you want ambience or do you want like a cold cathode light? Well, we can see that Roger is there on the phone again talking to someone. And again, he interrogates him. No, I won't sell you a strip until you tell me how you want to use it. And that's Kim in the background getting ready for another ham show. And Roger and Kim, they are characters at ham shows. As you know, they've got the audio system going with a turntable. They're good people. Some LEDs emit straight out. Yet other ones in the flat mode, the top ones actually emit either up or down. Now, what does that mean? Well, that means that if you want to illuminate the entire room, you would go for the bottom strip that runs the LEDs lighting up out. But if you want to illuminate, let's say, a certain area below the LED strip, then you go for these LEDs. And they're pretty darn good in that they illuminate with a downward view. But they're a little bright straight on. So take a little bit of nail polish and tap them on the top part. And then at your station, you won't be having those LEDs staring you right in the face. Here's my portable grab-and-go kit. This is one we're going to use out at Courtside, Arizona in 2 weekends from now. And everybody will be amazed that it's a nice, warm LED strip, but it only emits light going almost straight down on the equipment. So you need to be sure and tell Roger that. Now, I've got some real LED sources overseas, and I did find out one thing, and that is after a while, some of them will begin to, I don't think they burn out, but I'll lose 8 or 10 in a row. So I encourage you, well, it's tempting to get them on eBay and some of the other places. You never know what's going to happen And as you can see on this one in the center under the words ham radio, it's nice and warm. And off to the sides, it's a different shade. So go with professionals that really will market you the kind of LEDs you want. There it is at night illuminating the mixer. So these LEDs are pointed down and they work just great. Radio set up on the left by my Coast Guard auxiliary team members. Good LEDs pointing at the equipment. On the right, blinding. They're right in your face. So they have since, I think, switched over to LEDs that point down. And that makes a big difference. Now, you don't need necessarily 16 feet of LEDs. Maybe you only need 8 or 10 feet. Most of the professional LED strips, which you can get at sales@wiredco.com. That's Roger and Kim's Wired Communications email address for info. You can cut them, and then very carefully, you can solder to the plus and minus and get them to work as individuals. But again, here at my shack, I got some overseas at a bargain rate. I think it was like under 10 bucks for 16 feet. And within about a year, they began to poop out. So I always recommend buy locally because Roger only gets the very best that won't do that. That one did. Well, the communications van originally had the electroluminescence, but moisture got to them. They pooped out. So I wanted a new, good, waterproof LED strip. I mean, one that you could actually submerge underwater. Not that we're going to do that with a van, but you never know. But the very first one I got, take a look. Yep, see the bare spots right above the communications unit sign? Yep, those I didn't get direct from Roger. I got them overseas for like 12 bucks for waterproof, and they continuously had sections that just would poop out. So you want to watch out for cheap LEDs. Well, then I began to say, well, are they only just white or blue? Well, you can get them in different colors as well. Looks a little schmaltzy on a professional vehicle to have reds and greens and yellows. But as you can see, 1, 2, 3, 4 plus 1, 2, 3, 4 connection spots on the left and to the right. This is one that you can drive to different colors. And schmaltzy, yeah, with a controller, they do a good job. You also want to, if you're going to mount your LEDs on a boat or a snowmobile, for those of you tonight on the East Coast and Midwest and almost the entire country, you want something that's not going to turn sort of a yellow, dull color with the sun during the summertime. And that's what happened on the bottom strip. Again, a Gordo bargain overseas LED strip, whereas Roger's on the top. Wow, that one stayed nice and shiny white. The plastic covering did not discolor. So on this latest one, not from Roger, but from an overseas supplier, we said, well, this is pretty nice, a 3M backing so I can just stick it on. Wow, this is going to be real easy to mount. So what do you do? Well, once you're ready to stick it on, you just peel that back and you just peel it back and, oh, now what the heck's going on here? The sticky part is sticking to the part that you're trying to unpeel. You want it to stick to that white part, not to itself. Well, not a problem. You can take out a fine operating tool and a little pair of tweezers and coax the sticky stuff off the left side that you see there. And then it becomes a mess. And there's absolutely nothing sticky that the LED strip is going to hang on the right side. Well, with enough patience, and your wife, as Susie was helping me, we're able to get the top finally peeled away from the other part. There's the tweezers doing the final bit. And once you finally get it on itself, you want to stick the sticky part, which is double-sided, to a point that it's not going to peel off, and then slowly, carefully begin to peel off that what they say is 3M. I'm a little doubtful about that. 3M would not have it stick to itself. And now you've got sticky stuff to keep the LED on. We add a little bit of super glue just to make sure it's on. So for those of you thinking of an LED strip for your communications unit or your snowmobile or however you plan to do it, take a look at Wired Communications website, sales@wiredco.com. Roger and Kim will ask you a bunch of questions as to how you plan to use the LED. Maybe you're going to mount them on your quadcopters, as Neil W6FOG does every year at Quartzsite, Arizona. In 2 more weeks from now, you'll get those babies going. The LEDs draw very little current, and there's Kimmers ready to help you out getting the right LED strip for you. So I encourage all of you to have a great upcoming few days. All of us here on the West Coast are thinking about you folks on the East Coast, and we'll be dressed accordingly. And I'll see you next week, and then I'll be gone for a couple of weeks while we do Quartzsite, Arizona, the ARRL special event, Hamfest in Quartzsite, Arizona. So, Bob, that's my story. I'll go back to you, and then you can pass it on to Don and the team. Bob?
Okie dokie. I'm just getting all my stuff set up. We have got a huge amount of things to talk about tonight because of all the going on here. Fine. Before we do all of that, we need to get over and see what's happening with Don. He's got some good information, I think. Take it away.
I do, and it's all from DX Engineering. And now that the holiday's over, it's time to start thinking about how best to spend your influx of cash. Did you get an influx of cash? I'm glad you did. I didn't. But if I had of, I'd be on the DX Engineering website and all over this catalog. They even have gift cards. I got a DX Engineering gift card once. Once. Oh, well, hey, you know. Once is better than nothing, but DX Engineering is the absolute best to spend your Christmas cash or well, I don't know, St. Patrick's Day cash, Arbor Day cash. If you need an excuse, I got more excuses than cash, but that's not why you called. DX Engineering makes it easy with hundreds of options to upgrade your shack for more excitement in 2018. Just a few ways to make the most out of your holiday loot. The Geochron World Ham Radio Clock. You talk about a way to dress up your shack. Oh, my. Uniquely display geography plus local time, 12 and 24-hour formats, universal coordinated time, sunrise, sunset, all legal time zones, sun movement, daylight duration, latitude, longitude. These clocks, the Geochron clocks, are designed with help from the DX Engineering team. They have all the original Geochron features that have been around for decades, plus CQ zones and country prefixes. They're 2 by 3 feet, very impressive. Come in a standard version with a black vinyl finish or the special edition with a black anodized aluminum finish. For hams and non-hams alike, Geochron has geopolitical clocks that feature current country borders and demarcation lines, topographical world clocks that show the Earth view composed from satellite imagery. The map depicts the Earth and its oceans as it appeared a few thousand years ago. Just amazing piece of wall furniture. And that's what it is. It's wall furniture, beautiful tool for your ham shack. Use your DX Engineering gift card to make purchases that you've always wanted to build your dream station out of. ICOM, Kenwood, Yaesu, Elinco, all produce microphones specifically made to complement their legendary radios and deliver the ultimate in amateur radio voice reproduction. Features include built-in preamps, push-to-talk buttons with PTT lock switch, electric or dynamic condensers, and more. Plug-in modules let you enjoy your radio's full capabilities. And DX Engineering carries a great selection of Keir units, filter boards, CTCSS decoders, voice memory units, DTMF paging plugins, digital audio boards, Bluetooth adapters. The list goes on and on. Don't overlook the importance of having exceptional audio performance so you can better hear contacts and make more contacts. DX Engineering offers several external speakers from Yaesu, Kenwood, and ICOM that make perfect choice for your base station radio. And DX Engineering offers high-quality precision-engineered toolkits that help you prep and install connectors on your coaxial cable. Several kits tailored to specific cable and connector types are available. For instance, the complete kit, the DXEUT Kit 4, comes with stripping tools, connector assembly tools, braid trimmers, coax cable shears, and replacement blades to easily install PL259s, type-in connectors to RG8X 213 and RG8 cable. The coaxial prep tool for crimp connectors, that's DXEUT Kit CC1, will help you prepare 400 max, 8U, 213U, LMR 400, 8X, and LMR 240 size cables for installation of PL259s, ends, and BNCs, and each tool is available separately. All kits come with a custom foam padded carrying case, as you see on your screen. Nice stuff, of course, because it's DX Engineering. And DX Engineering ships faster than anybody else in the industry. Most orders placed by 10 p.m. Eastern Time are shipped the same day. With proven products and expert advice, DX Engineering helps you shrink the globe. Request your catalog or shop online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at dxengineering.com/hamnation. And we thank DX Engineering for their support of Ham Nation. You could even get a straight key, I guess, if you wanted to. And now's the perfect time to get a straight key because I got an email from Kurt, WA2JSG. He said, could you mention our club, Straight Key Century Club? Sure. They're having their 12th anniversary celebration this month in January. Over 18,000 members in the Straight Key Century Club. And there's the website right there, skccgroup.com. So if you're interested in straight keys or Morse or anything like that, you can be a part of that 18,000-member strong group. Straight Key Century Club, skccgroup.com. Fine folks. And we thank them for tuning in to Ham Nation and pounding the brass. Why don't we get into the news of the week now from Amateur Radio Newsline. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2096, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, January 3rd, 2018. Shortwave radio station 4KZ is on the air at 5055 kilohertz from Queensland, Australia.
Signal reports are coming in from New Zealand and parts of North America. Transmission started on the 20th of December and currently will be at half power or 500 watts until repairs can be made to one of the RF boards. The station will then operate regularly at its 1 kilowatt power using an inverted V antenna at a site in tropical North Queensland. Although the 60 metre transmissions are intended for the listening audience in the Northern Outback and Cape York areas of Australia, signal reports have come in from as far away as New South Wales, Victoria, New Zealand, Canada's province of Alberta, and even Monterey, California in the US. Australian Broadcasting Corporation ended its shortwave transmissions to the Northern Outback last January. If you're interested in listening for the signal and want to receive a 4KZ shortwave QSL card, be listening from 0500 to 2300 hours UTC and send your report to Al Curtin by writing to Al, that's A-L, at nqradio.com.au. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm John Williams, VK4JJW.
If you happen to be a student, it's not too early to start thinking about applying for a scholarship to one of the most competitive universities in the ham radio universe, Contest University.
Registration has opened for Dayton Contest University, which is holding classes on Thursday, the 17th of May, at the Crown Plaza Hotel in Dayton, Ohio, one day before Hamvention kicks off in Xenia. Students who are 25 and younger can apply for scholarships, which are available through the Northern California DX Foundation. Discounts on registration are also available for attendees who are presenting a talk at Hamvention or who have presented any educational sessions for hams at a Hamfest since May 17th of 2017. In the 12 years since Contest University has taken place, more than 7,000 amateurs have attended to pick up tips and sharpen their skills. For additional information, visit the website at contestuniversity.com and then get ready to search and pounce. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Heather Emby, KB3TZD.
Amateur radio is all about communications, but as one group of students in West Virginia is learning, it can mean so much more.
It's always exciting to hear about a new high school ham radio club getting on the air, but this one had a little twist. In fact, it took me a while to get in touch with this group that has introduced ham radio to Pocahontas County High School in Dunmore, West Virginia, because they have no cellular telephone service. The entire county is inside the United States National Quiet Zone near the National Radio Astronomy Observatory in Green Bank, West Virginia. I had a chance to talk with Rudy Marujo, KD8 WPG, about the visit to the school from the Eight Rivers Ham Club.
We want to show these kids that, hey, Pocahontas County is not the only place in the world. When a child talks to someone in London or Australia, I'd imagine looking at the smile between their ears. It's ear to ear.
An HF rig and some handhelds are already in a classroom at the school, and all the students who pass the license exam will be given a free handheld radio. Best of luck to yet another school sharing the love of ham radio with students, and in this case, sharing an entire world that otherwise might not be well known. Reporting for Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Neil Rapp, WB9 VPG.
For the rest of this week's Amateur Radio News, please listen to the full Amateur Radio Newsline report online on a repeater near you or on shortwave radio station WTWW at 9930 and 50, 85 kilohertz. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for four decades and counting at www.arnewsline.org. With John Williams, VK4JJW, Heather Emby, KB3TZD, Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team across the globe. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW, saying 7-3, Happy New Year, and we'll see you next time right here on Ham Nation. And speaking of WTWW, I've got my Saints Super Bowl hat on, by the way, because we're going to the playoffs. Speaking of WTWW, you can listen to WTWW right now and hear Ham Nation on the big 5085 12.105 blowtorch. And right after Ham Nation, you can tune in and they'll be there with music and dedications and requests and just all sorts of cool things at WTWW. Also Ham Radio News and just a plethora of events going on at WTWW. So we thank them for their support of Ham Nation. Dr. T is not with us via video tonight. She is actually getting ready for an American Meteorological Society meeting in Austin, Texas. She's going to be giving a presentation on solar weather to the next generation of broadcasters. So we wish her good luck in that. So she has sent me some information to pass on to you regarding the solar update. So here we go. For the five-day solar storm and aurora outlook, she says, quiet, quiet, and more quiet. As she warned last week, there's nothing going on. No coronal holes, no active regions, just a solar minimum blahs this week. A small glimmer of hope for some mild disturbance about midweek next week is all that the sun can muster for now. So switching over to the five-day solar flare and radiation storm outlook, she says the flare risk is non-existent with a spotless sun, a few tiny active areas to help keep solar flux high enough to support marginal radio propagation for the next few days, but that won't last. Likely the solar flux will dip back down into the poor levels by early next week and will stay that way for another week after that. Bad news for ham radio, she says, as 2018 marks the beginning of our entry into solar minimum. So there you go. We're on the downhill slide. And you can, of course, follow her on Twitter and Periscope. I would highly recommend you do that. It's at Tamitha Scove on Twitter and Periscope, and also spaceweatherwoman.com is her website. So thanks, Dr. T, for the information, and good luck in Austin. We know that you'll do fine over there, telling all these new broadcasters exactly what's going on with weather outside of the Earth. It plays a big part. Let's go ahead and get into a little pine board action, Dr. Bob.
Well, we can definitely do that. There's so much going on. And as I said in the beginning, if you missed it, I wish everybody watching, all your family, your friends, a very happy new year, a prosperous new year. And what's happened on Ham Nation this year has been eventful. The entire industry has been watching us because of this pine board thing that just came because of the MOCAN group, which is a group in Missouri, Kansas, Arkansas. We get on every morning at 9 o'clock with small little QRP radios or vintage radios. And Dick, W0BVT, he always came on with some pine board. And I said, wow, I think I need to build one of those. And then what I did, I said, aha, I'm going to share this. And I just wanted to share it with all of the fans here. But what happened was amazing. It is now being touted by people all over the globe. I'm getting guys across the pond, and all kinds of people that are building the pine board. People that have never, ever built before. And if you missed the QST article, well, you might want to check it out because it's really good. They did a beautiful job of putting it together. And one thing that we have to keep in mind with the pine board projects is we're dealing with some voltages. So respect these voltages, but we want you to learn about. And here I want to show some of the great pictures of some of the builders. I have a lot of these, but here's a couple of really good ones. N4DH, he did a little different thing. He built some pine board, but he wanted to do something in metal. And I've had a number of people say to me, why don't you do something in metal and teach us about Greenlee punches and so on? And you know what? I think we might do that. There's a couple of things we want to do, but that's one of them we might want to do is build something on metal. This one is amazing. This came from Jim, WB8SZJ. Look at this. How cool is this? It's on his workbench, and as usual, workbenches are kind of messy, but that's the only way we get things done. But he's built everything together. The latest is he did the antenna relay. This is, of course, the transmitter, the preamp, and the power supply. What a great job, Jim. That's really super. And he's just one of so many. This was an interesting one from Gene, where he's built the antenna relay and the final coil in a box. And then sometimes you might want to line that with aluminum foil, maybe to make sure it doesn't radiate. But don't have to worry much with 5 watts. It's crazy. But here's another shot of something you can do. Leave space for that relay and a switch to switch it from 80 to 40 meters. All you have to do is short the last coils, and it works great. And that's a simple thing. And these are things we're going to cover for you. Here's a very interesting one where the final tank, the SL239, and the capacitor is built on a separate board. I hope you can see that. My lighting's not great here at the house, but that is a separated board. And if you're using this final, you tie them together and away you go. But you might want to use different finals. We're going to come up with other things. And that way you can use the same coil. We might want to make a Pi network out of it, which means we'd have to have another capacitor here. And that allows you to do a lot of fun things. So you can do this with your Pine Board project. I've had a lot of guys ask me again about the switches and how to key the radio. And you might have missed it, so we're going to make sure you don't miss it. Don't want to miss it. And what we did is we put a double pole, single throw switch. One side of that keys the B plus, which turns the transmitter on. The other side of that will key the antenna relay. And this is a really cool way to do that. It works well because that one switch will do all of that. Here's the relay. There's the 110 volts at those extra contact switch. And the antenna comes in here, transmitter here, and then to the receiver here. And we still have, if you get a relay with the extra contacts, you still can use that to turn the receiver on and off. We're going to have to talk about that too, as to how you mute the receiver. Here, it's set up so that this will key that B plus. But we can do various things with it, and that's kind of up to the builder. There's a schematic of it again, and you can see when that's keyed, it will key even a pilot light if you want to. The transmitter, the antenna, and the receiver goes into the SO239s, and then that keys the B plus. So there's various ways of doing all of that. And I've had a number of guys say, what about a CW model? Well, there it is. You have to have a switch that you would switch from CW AM because in CW, you have to ground the cathode resistor. And on AM, you have to ground that 100-ohm resistor. And you need a switch to do that. Then your key goes up here and keys the cathode of the 6AG7. So this turns off the audio, and this keys the final. So it's a very simple thing. You add one switch and a jack. It's got to be a closed circuit jack. So when you pull the key out, it goes ahead and grounds the cathode to turn the transmitter on. And there's just so many other things you can do with it. This was one of the original diagrams, and some of the guys wanted to see some of those, so there they are. We've got some wonderful, marvelous drawings on the site, and you want to go do that. And this is very important because some of the guys missed some of this. And what has to happen here is to look closely to the fact that we are not using the tube rectifier. We are using a solid-state bridge, little gadget about as big as a postage stamp. It's got four transistors in it. You also could do this with transistors. And there it is set up for us. And that allows us to get much more B-plus out of it. And this particular method, I pull a lower voltage out for the preamplifier and a higher voltage out for the transmitter. So instead of getting 1 or 2 watts, you're going to get 4 or 5 watts out of that because this will give you a lot more B+. And that works really good. That's what I've been using. And this is so important. Last but not least, there are the kits. I've had a number of guys have called and said they've ordered. They've even gotten out of stock. The Antique Electronics called me a couple weeks ago and said, don't fear, we've got stuff coming in. They'll be back ordered for a little bit, but we got new parts coming in. We just didn't expect it. You know what? I didn't either. We've had such a popular thing here, and now that QST happened, we had a lot more. So I have a little patience. This is the AM transmitter. There's the part number. P for pine board, BH for Bob Heil. Pine Board AM transmitter. If you order that number, you're going to get all the parts. The power supply is PBHPS. Pine Board, Bob Heil, power supply. And Pine Board, Bob Heil, mic preamp. And there's one little caveat here. The 2.5 millihenry chokes are really getting tough to find. Online Components have them. Onlinecomponents.com. And you go onto the internet, golly. I see them all over. You put 2.5 millihenry choke into Google, you'll see various other places. This is the best place to buy your tubes, vacuumtubes.com. They have a good price, and they're always great tubes. And the crystals. Crystals are easy. So there you go, and did a little heads up. I think we might start building some other things. We got the power supply. Think another board. We could build a little 1-watt 6AQ5. This kind of stuff just thrills me to death because it's real easy. It's small. And, man, we can have fun, and I think we might be doing some of that this year. I can guarantee you, you do not want to miss an issue. And the other thing you want to do, write this down. Get your pencil out. Write this down. Go to heilsound.com, H-E-I-L-S-O-U-N-D, heilsound.com. When you go there, go to the ham radio side, go all the way to the bottom, bypass all the microphones, but we're not here to sell you microphones, although you can stop there if you want. But down at the bottom of that page, as Victor's showing you right now, is about, I don't know where it's at now, there's 50, 80 pages. All of the slides, all of the great drawings that Gene has done, and just tons of comments and ideas from you. And that's really cool. And it's guys helping each other. Hey, try this, do that. Absolutely wonderful. And that's another thing that the Pine Board has been so popular because we have, thanks to Gene, we have drawings and all of the schematics that are very clear and instructions. And the worst case, you can email me. You can call me. I got one that I'm helping. They're going to send it to me because they're having trouble. and Dick and I, we're going to fix it. So don't fear. We're here for you. I want you to have as much fun that I've had in almost 62 years of ham radio. And it's just wonderful. That's what this hobby's all about. And I know one guy that has done a lot of this also. And because of all of it, he became a radio engineer, but he's also a great ham. How you doing, George? Hope everything's
Bob, okay. Doing pretty well, and congratulations on the Pine Board Project on the front cover of QST. I got my issue two or three weeks ago now, and boy, that is quite an honor there. Speaking of radio engineering and how cold it's been here, I noticed someone in the chat room earlier saying, or asking, had anyone been running their AM transmitters to keep the shack warm? And that just brought up a thought. I've been doing this winter. I've got one of my FM transmitter sites has a big dummy load in there. And when it's cold like this, the first thing I'll do when I go in is fire up that auxiliary transmitter, run it into that dummy load at about 10 kW for about 10 minutes, and it feels nice up in that transmitter building. It really makes a big difference because there's no heat in those places. So, you just rely on the whatever the transmitter can put out. And the dummy load helps get the job done quick. Well, we're going to be back in just a moment because I've got some things I want to talk about that I had fun with last year. But first, let's get a message here from ICOM and come back and give away something.
Happy New Year's from ICOM. Start the new year out with a bang with one of ICOM's new available products. Communications have never been so fun. The SDR you've asked for is here. ICOM's new 7610 is a high-performance RMDR with the ability to pick out the faintest signal, even in the presence of stronger adjacent signals. The new ICOM IC7610 is a direct sampling software-defined radio that will change the world's definition of a SDR transceiver. RF Direct Sampling System, 110 RMDR, independent dual receivers, and dual digicell. ID31A+, a new D-Star communications device, is here. Easy to operate, the ID31A+ is available in silver, red, or gold. Worldwide digital communications. Share pictures and text messages. IPX7 waterproof, compact, lightweight, and tough. Visit ICOMAmerica.com/amateur for more information on all the great ICOM radios.
And you can tune in and enter to win after each episode of Ham Nation. Go to ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation. Register to win some great swag prizes like T-shirts and hats. While you're there, learn how you can win in the monthly grand prize drawing for a new radio. And for December, we've got a winner of that compact and submersible ICOM ID31A+, the 5-watt UHF digital transceiver with built-in GPS, micro SD card slot, of course, analog and D-Star operation, and automatic D-Star repeater lift-up function. December's winner is Paul K9PTF. Congratulations, Paul. You're going to enjoy that new ICOM ID31A+. And, hey, why don't the rest of you go register to win? Because ICOM's going to be giving away another one for January. So go to ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation. After this, in each episode of Ham Nation, register to win. Sign up. Good luck. And don't forget to follow ICOM America, Inc. on Facebook and Twitter. You know, last year, as Bob was saying, was a great year here on Ham Nation. We've done so many fun things. The Pine Board Project. A lot of different projects that I've worked on here. And some K7AGE, among others, have submitted to us as well. And the Google Plus community that I visit quite frequently, one for Amateur Logic, someone asked a question in there, I think it was last week. What was your favorite ham radio purchase of 2017? And I got to thinking about that a little bit. That was an interesting topic, and it got kicked around a bit. And I thought tonight maybe I would look at some of the fun I had with ham radio and electronics last year. You know, it doesn't take a lot of money to enjoy these hobbies and have a lot of fun and do some useful things at the same time. So I thought I would just, I sat down with pen and paper, went back through some of the old videos to find out what it is I did last year, just as a review. And I came up with a few things here that were fun for me, interesting. Some of them were kind of hard work, but worth the effort in the long run. One thing I did, you may remember this, we had several episodes where I went through a step at a time and rebuilt the woofer in these Radio Shack Linium speakers. You know, the surround had gone bad around the outside of the speaker cone there. It was foam. And otherwise, the speakers were fine. But, you know, so many speakers with those foam surrounds go bad. So I got a set of replacement ones and replaced it. Good as new now. And, I believe it was five of these speakers. It took a while, but I finally got them all done. That was a lot of fun. That was back in Ham Nation episode 290 and some of the 280 series of Ham Nation, because it took several weeks to pull all that together. But if you've got some old speakers, go back and look at that. Get a few ideas on how you can do it. It is not super difficult, just a little time consuming, but worth the effort. Another thing I did last year, and I don't know if we talked about this on Ham Nation or not, we did cover it on Amateur Logic in episode 100 and 102, and I want to say I talked about it here as well. You know, I'm big into doing things with the little Arduino microcontrollers and such as that, and I went to, Huntsville Ham Fest. It wasn't this year, it was the year before the folks from Night Fair Electronics, that is. It's vakits.com. They had a display there, and they're also, you know, you'll see them at Dayton Hamvention and other Ham Fest. They had some nice little inexpensive projects there that you could use with your microcontrollers, your Arduinos, or your PICs, or, almost any of them. One of the things they had, and you could even use this with, discrete CMOS or TTL digital chips if you wanted to. But this is a set right here. Let's see. I believe it came with these two right here. It's a 433 megahertz transmitter module and receiver modules. You can hook them up and send data back and forth, or modulation if you want to. Tones, whatever. And I bought a pair of them for $8 at the Huntsville Ham Fest. And did a little playing with them, and they worked. But, boy, I could only get, from one side of the shack to the other with these. It just really was not all that impressive. And I did some searching around, and I found out that these receivers that came with the kit weren't very good. I found some more receiver boards online. I don't remember what I paid for these, $4 or $5. I hooked that up, and this one, using that receiver there, I could cover the whole neighborhood half a mile away. So not bad. Hooked it up to an Arduino. But like I say, you could use these with a lot of different electronic projects. If you need a way to get some data or a signal from one location to another, cheap and inexpensive might be the way that you want to go with that. Another little kit that I bought at the same time, and we talked about this one, Ham Nation 319. This right here is a little DTMF decoder module, came from the same place. I've got it hooked to an Arduino Uno microcontroller here, simple little programmable microcontroller. You know, you can build all this stuff with discrete logic chips and all, but I like doing it this way where you can just put all your parts together in software. And, you know, we had three LEDs here, and we decoded them off the air with a handy talkie into this DTMF decoder. Had a lot of fun with that. I haven't done anything with it yet as far as building it into a more permanent project, but I'm still going to. I just hadn't come up with the right thing. You could use it for a repeater controller or any number of things. Another thing I had fun with last year, and I had this sitting around for a while, and I just really had never played with it much. And we looked at this on Ham Nation episode 308. This is the MFJ 1026 noise counselor. You know, you hook your antenna to it, you hook your receiver or your transceiver into it, and you hook a second antenna, an auxiliary antenna into it. You do some phasing. You know, Bob's talked about phasing here before. You do a little phasing and some gain balancing here, and you will be amazed at the kind of noise that this thing can eliminate. Doesn't eliminate every type of noise that's out there, but certain ones, it they're almost completely gone. It'll make cases where you could not hear a signal at all below the noise to where it's perfectly intelligible. I was really impressed with this MFJ 1026. Ham Nation 308, if you want to see it demonstrated, because we used it there, and you'll see the difference that it made on some of the noises. I tried it on there. Another thing, you know, I went to Houston to visit my son and his family, and I found a new electronics surplus place over there. New to me. I didn't know about it. It's EPO Electronic Parts Outlet in Houston, and it was like an old giant electronics store that these guys apparently have bought out a lot of electronics businesses and just stuck it all in a big strip mall building. They had some really nice things there. This is, I also visited another place there, and it was a Micro Center. We don't have one here, but I took the opportunity to visit one there. This is the Raspberry Pi Zero. You're familiar with the Raspberry Pi. We've talked about them before, and everyone on Twitter, I think, is probably familiar with what it is. This is a new little inexpensive one they have, $10. It's a Raspberry Pi, and it's got Wi-Fi and Bluetooth on it. For $10, you know, that's a lot right there. And we looked at this in Amateur Logic 107. Interesting. And, you know, it's a little slow because it's kind of, well, it's not really powerful. It, you know, it's a $10 computer, but you can run Linux on it. So, you know, hey, bound to be a good project out there for that. I haven't come up with it yet. But while I was doing that, you know, I had to burn a little image of the Raspbian Linux image on it. I had this Raspberry Pi 3 sitting around, Model B 3, that I hadn't done anything with, and it's been sitting here for almost a year. And I said, well, you know, it's about time that as long as I'm burning images, I might as well burn one and put on this and see how this little computer works. You know, I've had the Raspberry Pi, the original Model B, and the Model B2. But I hadn't ever tried out the 3. Well, I burned an image to it, fired this thing up. Man, it is not bad at all. I am impressed with what you can do with this little $35 computer. And the Raspbian operating system has gotten a lot better. If you're familiar with operating a Windows computer or a Mac, you'll be pretty at home, you know, operating one of these with the Raspbian Linux image on it. $35, of course, you got to have a little SD card, and you're going to need a power supply and a monitor, keyboard, and mouse, but you may have some of those already. I was impressed. I bought a second one. I've got it in the living room in there. That's just my living room computer for surfing or whatever. You know, it's a quad core. It's really fast, you know, for $60 or so. you got a PC right there that you can put in the palm of your hand, and it's actually useful. I didn't have a picture here, and it's in pieces right now, but you know, I showed a 1938 Motorola radio and a bunch of good junk that I bought at APO Houston back in Ham Nation 310. I've got that radio apart now. I've been cleaning up on it. I'm going to replace all the electrolytics in it. Got a little more to do, but we'll be looking at that this year as I restore that. Another thing I got here, and this I have not done much with yet. We're going to do a segment on it. I'm looking for the right project to use it with. This is called Bondic, and you may have seen it before. They say it's not a glue, but it's a little gel that's in there. You can use it like a glue. Squirt a little bit on something you want to repair or a part that you want to create. It won't dry out. When you're ready to cure it, then it comes with a little ultraviolet LED here. You just shine that on the material, and in just a few seconds, the stuff hardens, and it really does a good job. I've repaired some meter bezels, a few different things with it, some handy stuff. Thanks to our friend Mike, VE3MIC, up in Canada there, who apparently they make this stuff up there close to where he lives, and he sent me some, and we're going to do something better with it, get a little better demo, because I haven't done that yet. And one final thing I want to talk about, this we haven't looked at here, and maybe we will a little bit further, but it's something I did in Amateur Logic 112 back in December. This is a project that took me several months to pull together, but I thought it was very worthwhile what I came up with in the end. So I just wanted to share it here since the folks on Ham Nation haven't really seen it yet. If you watched Amateur Logic, you have. But, you know, a lot of people have this particular radio right here. This is the Azu FT857D, and if the camera will focus, you'll notice there's a lot of little lines in the display here. It's starting to go bad, and you can't just buy the display and replace it. I believe you can send the whole head to Azu and have them repair it. I don't know the cost of that, and it may be something I look into doing. I don't use this radio that much anymore. But it would be nice to be able to tell what frequency I'm on. And my friend Tommy had done a heads-up display using a little LCD display and an Arduino to plug into the serial port on the rig and, you know, give him another little small display he could put up on his dashboard. You know, Gordo is big on heads-up. So I looked around at what I had here. I bought a little RGB display at Dayton, and it said it was a touchscreen. Turned out it wasn't, but you know, it was a nice little color display. Well, I took this thing, wrote the software for it, plugged it in to the serial port here on this computer. Now I can tell what frequency I'm on when I use that radio, and as long as I was at it, you know, I thought, well, I might as well read some other stuff. So I'll show you the mode that it's operating in, whether it's transmitting or receiving frequency. I've got an S meter across the bottom here. And if you key it up, you can see it changes over to transmit. There's an indicator at the bottom there that will show just a relative indication of power. There's also a counter right there. While you're transmitting, it gives you a count-up timer, so you can tell how long you've been transmitting, and you'll know when your 2 minutes is about up and you're about to time out a repeater. But, you know, this made this old radio actually usable again. You could do this for just about any radio that's got CAT commands on it. If you're interested in that, go look at Amateur Logic 112. There's all the details there. I've put the all the software, everything you need to know about it online. You can just download it as a zip file and create your own color heads-up display. Like I say, it took a while to put together, but I found all the pieces. Go check out that segment. You'll learn all about the steps that I went through and, how I got about creating that. Well, that's some of the stuff I did last year. I don't know what I'm going to do this year yet, but we'll see. And we'll be looking at it right here on Ham Nation. I got something I want to give away here. DX Engineering has been a good sponsor of Ham Nation now for, over a couple of years. And they give us some nice items to give away here. I just happen to have one of these DX Engineering silkscreen t-shirts here. This one is mine. You can't have it, but they've got more of them at DX Engineering. And if you'd like to win one of these, well, I tell you what you need to do. Just send me an email to hamnationcontest@gmail.com and tell me what was your favorite ham or tech project or item from last year. I'd like to know, and we'll discuss some of those next week and, see what kind of things people are having fun with in the past year. It doesn't cost a lot of money. None of this stuff was really expensive that I looked at here, but I had a blast doing it all. So just sharing with you, some of the fun that you can have in this hobby. It's really diverse, a lot of different things you can do. Well, now let's get Don back in here. Don, I think you have some important information here for homeowners.
I do, or prospective homeowners, or maybe you're buying a vacation spot or whatever. This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans, and decidedly not ham radio related, but everybody can relate because you got to live somewhere, and at some point or another, you're probably not going to rent all your life. You're going to have a mortgage. And quite frankly, the mortgage experience wasn't keeping up with the times. It was dated. It needed a client-focused technological revolution. And Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage to do just that. Rocket Mortgage gives you the confidence you need when it comes to buying a home or refinancing the home that you have. It's simple. You can fully understand all the details and be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. And that's vital. It's convenient. Their trusted partners allow you to share your financial information with Rocket Mortgage at the touch of a button. And it's powerful, too, whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th home or a vacation home. Rocket Mortgage is able to perform thousands of calculations in seconds. And based on your income, assets, and credit, Rocket Mortgage can analyze all of the home loan options for which you qualify and find one that is just right for you. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Apply simply. Understand fully. Mortgage confidently. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/hamnation. That's rocketmortgage.com/hamnation. Rocket Mortgage is an equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states, NMLSconsumeraccess.org number 3030. And Rocket Mortgage, we thank you for your continued support of what we do here at Ham Nation, because everybody needs a shack, right? Everybody needs a shack. And then we're going to go over to Colorado to an awfully nice lady in an awfully nice shack with an awfully nice husband. Who has some awfully nice repeaters, and they've got some really swell dogs, too. Hello, Amanda. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Yes, thank you. We have all those swell things. By the way, who dat?
Yeah, they're going to the Super Bowl this year.
This is the hat from
09. This is the winner's hat from 09 right here. Look at that. There you go.
I have no one else to cheer for. And if I'm not going to cheer for the Saints, I'm sure as heck not going to cheer for the Patriots. Sorry, viewers, if you're a Patriots fan. Not going to happen. Oh, boy, we got a lot. First of all, this is a shameless confession, everyone. I had to Google what Greenlee punches were. I am now fully aware of what they are. Thank you. With that, did Gordo stay on? You might be muted, Gordo.
We're fine. We're electrified and we are fine. Go ahead, Amanda, with your nagging question.
I love the EL wire there, by the way. So I had two things. First, about your lights on the comm vehicles. I just want to let everyone know, Gordo mentioned that you can change the colors on those when you put those LED strips on. Be really, really careful of reds and blues on your vehicles. Your Leos are not going to be appreciative of it. And in fact, sometimes they're outlawed. So don't have red or flashing blue lights on your comm vans or anything like that. You want to be extra careful that you're not breaking any laws and don't make your law enforcement mad. So, Gordo, I know you agree with me on that one, but I also have a question for you. Do you run your LED strip all of the time with the Biano battery that you use for your MCOM rack? Or how do you, what do you do with them?
The LED strips draw only about 1 amp of current if you have them all the way lit up. And Amanda, the LED strips can be driven with a pulse width modulator so that you can sequence them down or dim them down. And then they only draw like a half an amp or a quarter amp. So you could run them all day on a car battery. But the big deal about running them on the small dimmer is the pulse width modulator will absolutely wipe out any high frequency reception within about 300 feet. So we're not going to do that at Quartz Fest. They're either going to be on or off, but I won't put the PWM on because it just drives everybody on HF crazy, including me. So that's a story there. Any small battery, you can even run these lights on a 9-volt battery as well.
Well, very good. There you have it. Thanks, Gordo. Bob, we're going to go to you next. The first was about your first talking about some the ground loops. Jim KI7AY wants to know, should the station ground be connected to the RF ground, aka multiple ground rods?
You only have one ground. One. And it's going to end up at the fuse box, hopefully. Drive a big copper rod there. And they're all going to be hooked up together on one ground. One ground. Not two, not three. And some of these guys get real confused about that. Nope. One ground, period.
All right. My next question is for the group of you. We'll start with you, Bob. What's your ham radio New Year's resolution?
Well, my resolution is to continue what we're doing on Ham Nation. You just heard George bring you just a small bit of all of the things that happen here and on his amateur logic. I mean, there's so much information here, and I'm working ahead of the pack on this. We've got some very neat things coming up interview-wise with different guys doing different things, and we want to continue that. I just don't like the talking heads things that just sit here and talk. We want to show you how to do things, and that's my biggest hope and pray this year that we can bring you even more. The pine board thing is going to be really hard to beat, but that's okay. It's a continuation of teaching people and sharing our ideas that all of us guys that have been on this side of the soldering iron for years have had and learned from, and in our cases of George and myself and Gordo and our careers. I have two careers that are absolutely solidly set on amateur radio. I wouldn't have them if I wouldn't have been a ham at 15. I want to share that. That's why I take all the time to try to pass it on to you, because there's so much there. So that's my resolution, is to try to bring more of what we have been doing and help you learn more about amateur radio.
And are we ever appreciative of it? That's great. Thank you. George, what about you?
Well, my resolution would be, number one, is to try to get on the air more. I haven't been on the air as much this past year as I have in previous years. You know, I'm, I work a full-time job with a number of radio stations. I don't even want to say how many transmitters I am responsible for now, but it's a lot. Fortunately, they don't take all of my time, and, I've been pretty blessed that generally they go pretty smooth. When you have a problem, though, you can have a pretty big-sized problem, and I do these video things as well, and two or three other projects, you know, but I still like doing the video stuff, but I want to get on the air more. That's my number one resolution. My number two resolution, and this is one that I've lived by most of my life, is I want to have some fun doing this stuff. You know, it's I've just always enjoyed tinkering with things. And, you know, I intend to continue doing that with electronics, with ham radio. And as I do, I want to share it with, you know, our viewers here and help them get enthused about doing some things. You know, this is not that hard. You know, most of these things are simple to do with a little patience. There's so many resources out there today on the internet, Ham Nation here. You got a good group of hosts here that share all kinds of projects and ideas with you. And most of the time, we try to give you all the stuff you need to know that you could do this at home as well. And that's one of my big resolutions there, to have fun and to twist your arm and help you to have some fun too.
That's an awesome goal. Thank you, George. Gordo, what about you?
More kids. We need more kids in the ham radio, so I'm going to continue to brainstorm to do more ARISS work with Rosalie White with the American Radio Relay League's ARISS program, because kids talking to space, that turns them on, Amanda. The ham radio, back to you.
It absolutely does. And for them to find digital modes that they can fit into as well, I think is very, very prosperous for them to get into. I have two resolutions for ham radio. Number one, not to ever ignore a CUSO, or not a CUSO, but a CQ call on HF. You know, I'm always spinning the dial, and I'm promising myself, if someone's calling CQ and they're not asking for DX, I'm going to go back to them just to say hello. My second, and this one I think is more important, to give honest audio reports. People use these repeaters and they say, how's my audio? You're blowing my eardrums out. Please turn down your gain. Please don't shout into the microphone. I honestly want to help people learn how to use their radios, because you can see such a difference. Someone's holding the radio, rah, 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 or they're holding it way out here and you can't hardly hear them, or it's just too loud, too quiet. And people are telling him, yeah, you're 5 and 9 into a repeater. What is that? Stop giving those signal reports, please. Can you tell this is a pet peeve? Anyhow, I promise to do better at that and tell people honestly how they truly sound coming into a repeater, and on HF for that matter. So with that, I have some announcements just for the nets. We have the 40-meter net on 7192. We have the 80-meter net on 3842. No, wait, I'll get this. 3848. And TAC 311 for the DMR net, D-Star 14 Charlie, and Echolink will have it on Dewdrop In as always. Back to you, Bob.
Well, thank you. Those are all great things that we all want to try to do. I agree with you. I do that all the time. Somebody calling CQ, I say, why isn't somebody entering him? So I'll drop whatever I'm doing. I might not be able to have a short contact, but let him know he's getting out. That's really important. So there you go. Well, we'll have more. It was really great, George. You did a great job, and you're right on all of that stuff. And we're trying to bring more here. And Gordo, you're just everything each of us do. And Don, I don't know how you found Tamitha, but God bless you, my friend, because she is something. And the pair of you bring us some great information, and I really appreciate it. And we all remembered Bill Pasternak, of course, for starting that whole thing of Newsline. That was so important. So we'll see what goes from here. One last thing I forgot to mention to everybody, the crew at Heil Sound had got a really neat thing going. If you go to the website, you can do heilsound.com/shop. They got a whole bunch of their demos. Some of it's been out on some of the rock and roll tours, shirts, hats, and so on. It's really cheap, so I appreciated them doing it. I took a lot to put that together. A lot of times they throw it away. I said, don't do that. So you might want to go check out the shop, the online store. It's lots of good stuff. In the meantime, turn those radios on. Dang it. Hang up a piece of wire. Don't, I need to get this. I don't have any money. Go on. just throw it in the air. Like you got, you only have a 80 foot to put up a 120 foot antenna. Put it up there and let the ends drop. You will be surprised. So give her a try. We're going to meet you on the air. We'll see you right back here next week and have some more fun and bring you some more information. Thanks very much to you, Victor, for keeping us going. Thanks to Leo Laporte and all of our supporters that keep us going here on Ham Nation, a show that's amateur radio for you. Bye-bye for now and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Stay warm, everyone. Stay warm.